You are Locked On Fantasy, your daily fantasy football podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Greetings, everyone, and welcome to another edition of the Locked On Fantasy Football Podcast. As usual, I'm your host, Vinny Iron. When I'm not doing this, I'm writing about NFL and fantasy football for sportingnews.com. So if you come to the site now, I've got all kinds of draft preview team by team. So you have the Raiders, Steelers, Cowboys, among a few, and also the big board and the latest mock draft, which we talked about earlier in the week here. To close the week, we're going to look, as we promised, we looked at the AFC depth charts, how they stand before the 2019 NFL draft yesterday. Today, we're going to look at the NFC depth charts, kind of give you an update, what we're feeling, what's incomplete, what has changed, and how these teams are starting to line up there for 2019, and maybe what's incomplete, mostly to be filled in the draft there. So a lot of things we need to look at changing across the league and in this conference in particular. So let's dive right into it. Our first team is the Cardinals. For now, we know for now, that was the catch word there by Steve Keim, the GM, that Josh Rosen is the quarterback in Arizona, but we know that can quickly change with the potential for Rosen being traded or Kyler Murray being drafted, regardless of Rosen being traded. So we all think Kyler Murray is going to be the leader in the clubhouse to be the Arizona starting quarterback in 2019. So Josh Rosen, consider him the ultimate seat filler, if you will, right now in the pocket for the Arizona Cardinals. Now, running back, David Johnson's the man here. Chase Edmonds, a pretty good backup, is there right behind him. Solid backup all around. So pretty clear cut here that David Johnson is going to get a chance to be the workhorse again in this new offense, doing what he did in Bruce Arians' offense with Cliff Kingsbury as a running back and a receiver here, and Edmonds is your straight-up handcuff there. I don't see that changing in the draft. Now, at wide receiver, Larry Fitzgerald is still your number one. Christian Kirk is your number two. Christian Kirk, when we broke down the expert early consensus rankings, overall, Kirk was rated ahead of Fitzgerald. So something to keep in mind. But a lot of that was tied to Rosen being the quarterback. Kyler Murray blows everything up. So I think a further rookie, would lean more on Fitzgerald, but don't see the high upside of both these guys. But those two guys will be your starter. We're trying to figure out who's going to be next in the pecking order. Is it going to be Kevin White, who they got excited about when they signed him off the scrap heap from the Bears, a first-round pick there in the Amari Cooper draft, or will they go out and get somebody for help? Christian Kirk is also a slot guy, so maybe they look for a big playmaker on the outside. So a lot of things in flux with that particular position. Now, we've been waiting for Ricky Seals-Jones to do something. He's flashed, and we've gotten excited about him in fantasy, but he's now your number one tight end. Charles Clay essentially replaces Jermaine Gresham as the blocking kind of hybrid receiver veteran-type guy behind. So we'll have to see how much Kingsbury works in the tight end in his offense. They've had some history with that in his offenses, but still a lot to be determined starting with the quarterback and how it trickles down to those other positions. The next team that we look at here is the Atlanta Falcons, as we go in alphabetical order, go from Arizona to Atlanta. Matt Ryan, we know, is the starting quarterback. He's solid, as we always know in fantasy. Devonta Freeman is now your clear lead back, with no Tevin Coleman, signed away by the 49ers. They intend to bring him back in Atlanta. Ito Smith slides into that Tevin Coleman role, so you could see Devonta Freeman and Tevin Coleman becoming Devonta Freeman and Ito Smith in this backfield. Signed Kenyon Barner to be the number three right now, but right now Freeman is healthy. He's going to be a good chunk of this running game with Ito Smith. We know it was productive at times last year when Freeman was out working with Coleman, so that's an indicator that they like Smith and they're going to get him involved in this offense, and he's going to be one of the better number twos that you can look at around the league. At wide receiver, it's pretty clear cut, still what we know. Julio Jones is your wide receiver one. Calvin Ridley is your wide receiver two. Mohamed Sanu is that wide receiver four or five based on his usage. But a lot of Jones, a lot of Ridley. And Austin Hooper is a borderline tight end one. There's some changes there. He was really good at times, really faded away at times. So That's how I look at Austin Hooper, but not much to change here except that backfield with Freeman and Smith now leading the way for Atlanta. You look at Carolina, Cam Newton's your quarterback. The question is the shoulder injury. Is he going to be fine? Right now, Tyler Heinicke and Kyle Allen are the backups, so they might draft a backup there as insurance for Cam Newton, or maybe a veteran as well if they have an idea. But for right now, Newton has to be the man. At running back, you have Christian McCaffrey, and right now they're in the market for a backup here because they just don't have anyone that they can trust behind Christian McCaffrey. So they're going to look for someone that is pretty much the plug and play. It's not going to be a change of pace type guy, like a power back or anything like that. It's going to be someone who can fill in from McCaffrey on three down basis. So that handcuff is going to be very valuable in Carolina once we find out who it is in the 2019 draft. Now at wide receiver, things are in flux. Devin Funchess is gone. DJ Moore is now your new number one. Curtis Samuel's a pretty weak number two in terms of he's a gadget player who's been always hurt, trying to fit in here, known for a slot. So they're going to have to look for a big outside presence. Otherwise, it's Jarius Wright, a slot guy, Torrey Smith, the speedster. They got Rashad Ross from the Alliance League there, so not much to see there, but DJ Moore, clear-cut number one and being the guy. Greg Olsen is going to stick around for one more year here. So still there, tight end. We'll see how effective he is coming off another injury there. Ian Thomas may need to wait his turn before having the impact that we thought he could here if Olsen retired. So a lot of things in flux. I think the only two things that you feel good about are McCaffrey being what he was last year, having a better backup situation than Cameron Artis Payne, and Moore taking over as a legitimate number one playmaker, coming in at wide receiver three in most situations. The next team I look at is the Chicago Bears. We know Mitchell Trubisky is settled quarterback. Chase Daniel still settling as a backup. The big change is at running back, where Jordan Howard is gone. So Tarik Cohen, they wanted to just kind of let him loose and be the guy last year, despite his size and all the question about can he hold up. So Tarik Cohen, clearly the number one here. Mike Davis signed from the Seahawks to be the backup, but Cohen definitely gets a big bump into that RB2 range. At wide receiver, a lot more of the same. I expect Anthony Miller to have a bigger role. He's a slot guy at the number three. Allen Robinson, Taylor Gabriel, Miller was all picked up last year. They added Cordarrelle Patterson and Marvin Hall, but those guys are more special teams options. So I expect Robinson to be a man, Miller to kind of be second there, but I think you start with the values of these guys as wide receiver twos and go down from there. Trey Burton, we were disappointed. He was buzzed about as a sleeper coming over from the Eagles, the Philly special, getting his chance to come out of the shadow of Zach Ertz. Didn't quite work out. They still have Adam Shaheen working around there that could have a role here for the Bears. So cooling off on Burton after the disappointment from last year, really, I feel much better about Cohen, much better about Robinson, but otherwise the Bears are a tough team to kind of figure beyond that and trust mainly in fantasy football. So, but Cohen taking over without Jordan Howard is the big news there. The Cowboys, as we go to them, it's looking pretty knowledgeable to what we've seen in the past. Dak Prescott, your quarterback, borderline QB1, Ezekiel Elliott, clear-cut RB1. You have Amari Cooper. I argue that he has the value that he had in many drafts last year as a clear wide receiver one, much better situation that he was in Oakland. Michael Gallup is the sleeper we look at as a wide receiver three. Randall Cobb, Allen Hurns round the south. They'll be battling for that slot job. Regular snaps vacated by Cole Beasley there as he left to go to the Buffalo Bills as a free agent. So a lot of Cooper, a lot of Elliott, Prescott. This is your new triplets in Dallas. Jason Witten returns a tight end, but we know he was fading and didn't really produce before he retired, and now he's unretired. There's also Blake Jarwin to come to some touches. Jeff Swaim out, Jason Witten in. We'll have to see how that impacts the Cowboys, but I don't see Witten having a big role as a receiver all of a sudden with Cooper as the new go-to guy. With Prescott and Elliott also seeing a big role in the passing game. The next team we'll talk about is the Detroit Lions. And with the Lions, Matthew Stafford still the starting quarterback. There was that story that they thought about trading him to the Dolphins. So there was that consideration that they're starting to look now. Those quarterbacks in the 2009 11 drafts in that range, starting to wonder if they've reached their ceiling here. So Stafford still there, establishes the starting quarterback. Kerryon Johnson, we're excited about him. Hopefully he can stay healthy here in year two to carry the load. He is only theoretic. We know he's a change of pace, PPR, third down type. C.J. Anderson is also in the mix now, signed away from the Rams. But Kerryon Johnson, should he be healthy, has a chance to really dominate touches on this team. At wide receiver, with no Golden Tate, Kenny Golladay to me is the clear one. Marvin Jones, maybe a 1B. I think he's more of a 2. I think Golladay has that wide receiver 1 upside as a wide receiver 2, while Jones is probably wide receiver 2 trending towards wide receiver 3. You have Danny Amendola as well, signed for the slot. He's not going to be a threat too much to the values of Golladay and Jones or have anything in his own right. Jesse James is your new tight end, so we'll see if they work him a little bit. They're moving on from Levine Tolalu and Luke Wilson there. James could be a limited role like he had Steelers, occasionally put up some numbers, but I figure it's going to be a lot of Golladay and Jones in the passing game with Johnson next there out of the backfield getting some touches. We'll be right back to talk about the rest of the depth chart, starting with the Green Bay Packers as we get to the G's. But as a reminder, great place to download your podcast is Himalaya, and Himalaya has really helped power up the Locked On Network, and you can get your podcast in many ways, but recommend Himalaya to you for sure. Easy, convenient, and quick way to get the downloaded show and listen to us right away there. So however you're listening, whether it's in your house or in your car, if you have a smart speaker, you're good to go with Himalaya to get your podcast, and then to listen to your podcast, all you have to do is say play podcast Locked On Fantasy Football or any other show on the network, and you will be locked in and listening. And we're in that nice range of listening right now with a lot of things going on in sports, and we're happy that you chose us. And please, if you've got any feedback for the show, reach out to us on social media, and we can always improve this show, any other shows. We want to keep bringing the best information and insight to you, the listener of the Locked On Network. We'll be right back here to start looking at the Packers depth chart. Okay, we have the Green Bay Packers. We know a quarterback. Dum-da-da-dum. We know it's Aaron Rodgers. That's pretty easy. There's all this stuff about Rodgers that's come out, the Bleacher Report story, and but Mike McCarthy's gone. He's ready to embrace Matt LaFleur. This is a big bounce back year. We saw him in this consensus ranking. People are looking at him as a high QB1 right behind Patrick Mahomes. And yeah, we feel good about that for sure. Aaron Jones is your straight up lead back now. No burying by McCarthy. He's your number one with Jamal Williams as your number two. There, Jones going to pick up where he left off last year, really produce and be a potential RB1. That's how I think he's important to this offense. At wide receiver, you have Davante Adams, but they could be looking for another receiver here. They added Marquez Valdes-Scantling, Equanimeous St. Brown, and Jamon Moore. But Geronimo Allison would be the number two at the moment, but they lost Randall Cobb here. So they're trying to sort out all these wide receivers. Didn't use a high pick on any of them. They have Jake Kumerow as well. So we'll have to see if the Packers add a receiver. I have them in my latest mock draft. We talked about taking Marquise Brown, kind of the big play guy that they need to play off Adams and his size, possession, catching everything on the other side as the number one. But Adams definitely locked in as a wide receiver one because of the touchdown upside. Jones is a RB1. Rodgers is a high QB1. Jimmy Graham, just because of the things and question marks at tight end, if the Packers don't, say, go after T.J. Hockenson or Noah Fant or Irv Smith or someone else at tight end in the draft, Jimmy Graham still in a good position. That chemistry and that scoring ability wasn't totally there with Rodgers last year. They also have Mercedes Lewis, the big blocker. Robert Tonyan randomly made some big plays last year as well. So a lot of things to think about the Packers offense, but you feel best about Rodgers, Jones, and Adams and everything else. We have to kind of wait and see as the draft comes here. The next team is the Rams. Jared Goff is still your starting solid quarterback, looking for the new deal. Blake Bortles is your new number two. You have Todd Gurley. They're in the market for number two. They just have Malcolm Brown and John Kelly. They're behind him. John Kelly, they had some upside from him last year in Tennessee, but he had some injuries, and they didn't really quite trust him as a backup. So they're in the market for Stewart, given that C.J. Anderson is now in Detroit. So that's definitely going to be a consideration with the Rams. At wide receiver, we don't need to dive into this that much. It's Brandon Cooks, Robert Woods, and Cooper Kupp. In that order, Cooks and Woods on the outside, Kupp in the slot, a little bit interchangeable with those guys. And Josh Reynolds now fades to a number four there on this team. So it's a pretty clear cut with this Rams team that just went to the Super Bowl that we're not going to be guessing. It's going to be pretty straightforward, except for who they get behind Gurley. With Gerald Everett and Tyler Higbee, I don't see their roles changing much. They didn't really have much of a role there with Sean McVay. Kind of splitting it, occasionally would get involved in the passing game, but it's pretty clear cut the way this Rams team's going, the team so far with the least changes of note offensively. The Vikings shot Mannion is now the new backup to Kirk Cousins. Kirk Cousins is the solid guy that is your starter going his second year. Maybe he'll have a better year. Right now, he's in that QB2 range. Dalvin Cook, no more Latavius Murray. He's gone. Dalvin Cook is your lead back. Mike Boone would be right now the best of the guys behind him with Rock Thomas and Amir Abdullah. So Dalvin Cook, yep, he's in for workhorse, RB1 type volume for sure. Wide receiver is pretty easy. It's Adam Thielen and Stephon Diggs and no one else, really. Laquon Treadwell, borderline bust, clear out, all-out bust as a first-round pick. So Thielen and Diggs are pretty equal there as wide receiver twos. Maybe really borderline wide receiver ones as well. It's just the trusting the touchdowns and the consistency toggling that sometimes hurts their value individually. Kyle Rudolph is back for another season, but I had mocked T.J. Hockenson from Iowa to them, so this could change for sure. Rudolph's role could be limited a little bit here as they need a little bit more pop at that position, and there's not real much that we saw from Cousins and Rudolph connecting there last year. Now, we go to the New Orleans Saints. Drew Brees, quarterback. Alvin Kamara's still in his basic RB1 role. Now Latavius Murray is the lesser version of Mark Ingram behind him as the power back. And then we have Dwayne Washington, the former Lion, as the third back there. But we know the wrinkle as well as Taysom Hill. We know they're going to mix him into certain spots to pilfer some touches, but no more than that. They really need a veteran to consider as a little bit more punch in this backfield as a change of pace. We'll see where they go. As just insurance in that receiving game if something were to happen to Kamara. With Breeze and Hill and Teddy Bridgewater, I think they'll be in market for a developmental young quarterback in the draft at some point. At wide receiver, Michael Thomas locked in as a wide receiver one. Ted Ginn, Tre'Quan Smith, Cameron Meredith, Keith Kirkwood. It's going to be a mixed bag there. We'll see if Smith or Kirkwood can take a step up to have a more steady role in the offense, but right now it's again still there as the home run threat. Not trusting too much in other wide receivers other than Michael Thomas there. Also cutting into the usage of these other wide receivers is now a legitimate top receiving tight end again, the first time since Jimmy Graham. It's Jared Cook coming in from the Raiders. So Cook to me is the second guy, really the third guy if you look at the way Thomas catches the ball. Kamara gets targeted as well. So behind those two guys, Cook is next, and that also cuts in to what we believe in the Saints wide receivers. Our next team that we'll look at is the Giants. Yep, Eli Manning still the quarterback. Kyle Ladd and Alex Taney are the next two. No more Davis Webb. So the Giants are going to be, of course, in the market for a quarterback. The question is, are they going to take him first or second round? Where do they groom him as an Eli Manning successor? Or just wait till next year and just take a back-end developmental quarterback instead? So a lot of question marks there, but Eli Manning for now is a starter, not something or someone we even think about in fantasy football, even in his best years in relation to the rest of the league. Saquon Barkley locked in as your RB1. I would say that right now the best backup for him remains Wayne Gallman if something were to happen to Barkley. Gallman touched the ball a lot, but there would probably be a committee involving Paul Perkins. Now, at wide receiver, we know Sterling Shepard just got a new deal, so they traded away Odell Beckham Jr., paid him a lot of money, then made that deal, then they paid Shepard well as well, locking him up early from his status. So they like to take care of the veterans younger when they're cheaper, and Shepard, they just like his work ethic, the way he plays. He's gritty, can play the slot, play outside. And I think that's why they also got Golden Tate, kind of an older version of Sterling Shepard there. So two scrappy receivers that are play a little bit bigger, and they're going to eat up the targets here at this position, but I would say Barkley is probably a top target with Shepard, so Shepard gets a bump up. Tate is probably off the radar if someone we're looking for start, but Shepard, maybe only because of views with Eli Manning, he's more borderline wide receiver 3-2 versus a straight up 2 there. Barkley, a clear RB1, maybe the first RB or player off the board even at that position. Then Evan Ingram, Rhett Ellison's behind him, Scott Simonson, they have some other guys, but Evan Ingram figures to be a key part of this offense, especially if there's a young quarterback involved. If not, without Odell Beckham Jr., there's vacated targets. So between Tate coming in, you think there's a good distribution where Barkley gets a few more, but Shepard and Ingram are the biggest beneficiaries there. Before we close with the last few teams here, we've got to five more to go. I got to remind you that got great draft shows on the network here. Locked On NFL Draft, the Draft Dudes podcast straight from the Draft Network. John Leiter and Trevor Sikkema lead the team. A lot of good stuff all across the network there, team by team podcast. And don't forget that we've got MLB for you too as well. The season is here. We've got our shows revved up there. And we know it's NBA playoff time as well. So a lot of good stuff to talk about there on the network. And we don't really relent here. We're going to keep giving you inside information all through the offseason on our NFL and fantasy football shows. And that's what we're doing. We'll cool down a little bit after the 2019 NFL draft. But everything is looking great here as we roll toward the season for the 2019 fantasy football fun. We'll be right back here to look at the Eagles and the rest of teams and their NFC depth charts on Locked On Fantasy Football. All right, let's close looking at the Eagles through the Redskins and their depth charts. Carson Wentz is now your quarterback by himself, where you don't look at Nick Foles, will he or won't he, and all that. Nick Foles has moved on to the Jaguars. Carson Wentz locked in. They're looking at locking him up to a long-term deal. So Carson Wentz, borderline top half QB1 to me for sure in 2019. Eagles, we have a new topper on the depth chart. They didn't sign Jay Ajayi back. So it's Jordan Howard in the trade from the Bears, being the early down back of choice, but still a committee type approach. So early down, power, red zone type back. Wendell Smallwood and Corey Clement will fight for that number two duty. Clement, maybe the swing. Number three, the way that Rex Burkhead is in New England, while Wendell Smallwood might be the James White in the situation behind the Sonny Michel that is Jordan Howard. So that's how we look at it. They still have Josh Adams hanging around. That's who Howard hosts the most or hurts the most there. Donnell Pumphrey is still hanging around. Smallwood, Clement, and Pumphrey all seem the same to me enough. Former Saint there, Boston Scott, also in the mix. So a lot there, but Howard is early down. We'll have to see how the third down plays out. We'll have to see who the true early down backup is as well. At wide receiver, you have Alshon Jeffrey. Golden Tate was not re-signed. We know they've gone through Mike Wallace and Torrey Smith and all that. Now DeSean Jackson is the outside deep threat. Now lining up opposite Jeffrey with Nelson Agholor in the slot. Other than that, you have Mack Hollins, Shelton Gibson, Johnny Holton. Now Braxton Miller is still trying to hang on to the Eagles. So a lot of tough things going on in Philadelphia. But DeSean Jackson landed in a good spot to have his value there, because if he'd stayed in Tampa, he would have faded behind Chris Godwin. Now he's the number two with Nelson Agholor coming off a shaky season. So we know that Jackson, however, is still the third option in the passing game no matter what. With Zach Ertz still lined up at tight end, maybe the Dallas Goedert behind him gets a little bit more. Richard Rodgers was re-signed as well. So the tight ends are going to be key. We know that for the Eagles. But Jeffrey and Ertz are the go-to guys for Wentz. We'll see if Jackson can cut into that a little bit with his big playability. And that's probably what his value is going to be, is downfield stretching and a few big plays that we've seen before. That's pretty much his value wherever he's been, including Washington and Tampa Bay. Now we go to the next team is the 49ers. Jimmy Garoppolo back on the depth chart. He's on track to start. According to Kyle Shanahan, he could start probably today. So Nick Mullins, the fun that was short-lived, was fun while it lasted, but now Garoppolo's the number one. You have Jerick McKinnon. We'll see if he can keep the job ahead of Tevin Coleman. So he had McKinnon signed in free agency, big deal from the Vikings last year. This year it's Coleman from the Falcons. So I would say it's going to be Coleman with McKinnon trying to hold on to the team here, and Matt Breida. Raheem Mostert is going to be back to mainly a special teams guy for the 49ers. That wide receiver, Dante Pettis, we were excited about him in the Chris Godwin range. We talked about Godwin. We'll talk a little bit more about him when we get to Tampa Bay here soon. But Dante Pettis, a young receiver with a lot of big play overall qualities as well. So with no more Pierre Garçon, I think he's a better bet to be their number one receiver over Marquise Goodwin, more of a speedster who has made a case to be better. But when you look at that, Kendrick Bourne is the next receiver, so he might have a role. They like Richie James, but it all sets up Pettis for a big role. And really the guy that's going to be the safest kind of target for Garoppolo coming back is George Kittle, the tight end. Clearly the tight end one, and to me, he has a case to be the first tight end, period, off the board, and the most productive in fantasy football in the wake of Rob Gronkowski's retirement. So Garrett Celek, I know, still hanging out behind him, but George Kittle has an alpha role in this offense. Now we go to the Seahawks. Russ Wilson is still your starting quarterback. As a just a side note, Paxton Lynch is now your best number two quarterback. So Paxton Lynch, the one-time Broncos first-round draft pick, they gave up on him pretty quickly. Now he's going to try to stick around as Wilson's backup. Not too intriguing, though, if something were to happen to Wilson. But Wilson, again, is one of the most durable and productive quarterbacks in the league. So he's never gone down since he came into the league in 2012. So even with some minor injuries, so that's why you can afford to have a guy like Lynch as your number two. Chris Carson, still your lead back, but I would suspect it's more of a split with Rashad Penny with Mike Davis out of the mix. Penny, you use a first-round pick on him. You want to use him a little bit more, and I think you'll have more of a Carson-Penny split. J.D. McKissic and C.J. Procy still sticking around. One will have a bigger third-down role. I still think it's McKissic over Procy, and that's how it's kind of listed now. At wide receiver, Doug Baldwin, we'll have to see. He's got a lot of injury issues there coming back, but you know Tyler Lockett really came on as a producer. You have Doug Baldwin there as the number one, but I think it's fading where Tyler Lockett could be that. David Moore and Jerron Brown both had their moments last year, but again, it's stretching for any other Seahawks receiver behind Baldwin and Lockett. And at tight end, Will Dissly, we were a little bit excited about what he did last year, but they also have Nick Vanette hanging around, Ed Dixon, so we'll have to see if we can generate any value from the Seahawks tight ends. But I'd say right now, in order, you feel better about Lockett and Baldwin and Moore than anything at tight end here. And at running back, we'll have to see who's the guy, McKissic or Procise, who most positioned to catch passes from Russell Wilson. Tampa, Jameis Winston's your quarterback under Bruce Arians. They did sign Blaine Gabbert, so no more Ryan Fitzpatrick, so no more looking over the shoulder because Ryan Griffin could hold off Blaine Gafford to be the number two. You have Peyton Barber and Ronald Jones second still as your backfield options. We'll see if Ronald Jones in the doghouse there, the previous offense, if he can get an attract here. It's all about the receiving value there, so may not feel that we can get great value out of the Bucs running backs in fantasy. At wide receiver, Mike Evans is clear-cut number one. Chris Godwin becomes your number two. He's going to line up everywhere, including the slot, according to Arians. So a little bit of Larry Fitzgerald-type usage for Godwin, which could be very good for his production in this Arians offense. And other than that, it's just Justin Watson, Rashad Perryman. They don't have much of wide receivers, so that's good for the target share of those two for sure, playing off each other and being high volume. So we'll just have to see. I think a receiving back is in the cards there for the draft, maybe another receiver as well to work this slot or outside for the Bucks. I don't think they're completely done with their offensive skill haul here. A tight end, O.J. Howard, we'll have to see. Remember, Bruce Arians' offense not always producing too much of a tight end punch there. We saw what happened to David Njoku with Freddie Kitchens taking over. So we'll have to see with Arians back. Does Howard have a bigger role just because he's a natural talent? They adjust the offense more to him. Or is it Howard and Brate that are an occasional sub-package type deal? I think just knowing that it's Evans and Godwin at wide receiver, they have to get Howard involved a little bit more. So this could actually really hurt Brate's value with the, again, the tight end unfriendly type offense that the Cardinals did operate. Now the Bucks have there with Arians and Byron Leftwich. Now our next team and our final team that we look at for the depth charts before the draft in the NFC is the Washington Redskins. Case Keenum right now looks like the starter. Colt McCoy is coming back from injury. Alex Smith with his injury, long-term question mark whether he can return short-term. He may not be available, so Case Keenum, whom they traded with the Broncos, is now probably your starter in week one, unless McCoy really comes on strong and they like what he does. But Keenum is starting now be a bridge quarterback as well in his own right. Running back Adrian Peterson was re-signed, but we know Darius Geis is really the guy they want to feature here. The second you're back out of LSU, tore his ACL in his first preseason game last year. So Darius Geis, probably in the lead to have the duties, looking good ahead of Peterson. Peterson is more of a straight-up backup, I would say, right now. And Chris Thompson is back as well. Don't forget about him. He's going to be the third-down receiving back. So Geis early downs ahead of Peterson, assuming Geis looks healthy and normal there. And Thompson, assuming he looks healthy, will be your third-down back. And Samaj Perine, Robert Kelly, probably expendable here, as well as Byron Marshall from this depth chart. At wide receiver, you have Josh Doctson and Paul Richardson as your number ones. That's why they're tied to taking a wide receiver in the first round. Some people have it as Hollywood Brown. Some people have it as DK Metcalf out of Ole Miss. So overall, the Redskins are definitely trying to upgrade their wide receiver. Richardson, disappointing after coming over from Seattle, hasn't produced the same. Doctson has just been disappointing since he was a first-round pick. And Mr. Relevant, Trey Quinn from last year, is still hanging around. So weird receiving core, but that all screams that the Redskins will be taking a wide receiver in the 2019 NFL Draft. And finally, will they address tight end? They could look at TJ Hockenson and Noah Fant as well, but Jordan Reed is just not reliable to stay healthy there for this offense, and it's just not much to see there. Vernon Davis still trying to hang around and be pretty productive. But overall, this Redskins passing game, we want to see kind of things settle with the draft if we're going to trust anything in there. But the running game, again, you want to be able to trust Geis there, but it's a major injury as a rookie, and Peterson is still lingering around. So if you get Geis, make sure you also get Peterson if you're desperate there in your running game and you have to tap into what Washington has here in 2019. So there you have it. There's a look at your NFC depth charts before the draft in complete skill position form here on Locked On Fantasy Football. Thanks so much for listening. As a programming note, only we'll be doing a couple shows next week as I'll be out on vacation, resting up there, because we'll rev things up again for the NFL draft week to come after that. So we'll have plenty to talk about in draft week leading up to that. But taking a little break there, be on a couple shows next week. What we'll do with those shows is kind of look at the schedule and set you up for that in terms of fantasy football and what it really looks like there, as we know the opponents for every team, and we can put it together with the time and dates, and you can analyze it that way. But we can see who's got some good success for fantasy football overall. And we'll come back and also break down the playoff type schedules and how you kind of plan for that very early by getting teams that have good week 14 through 16 matchups. So it's a little bit of fantasy football 301, but we'll talk about that once we know the schedules. Before we'll give you a good preview of that next week, before we take a short couple day break for you and go before going full swing on draft weekend. So there you have it. This is a good way to close the week. NFC depth charts all in the books for you. Still got the draft there to change things for the NFC and AFC, but thanks so much for listening, and we'll see you next time.